Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, once again, we the church enter into a solemn vigil, a memorial of expectation. Tonight, through the liturgy, we are spiritually united with the disciples, including the apostles and our Blessed Mother, in the upper room. Together with them, we are on the watch, praying urgently, awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit. Tonight is a night of watching, expecting, and longing. When I was in the seminary, one of the organists would usually play as a prelude to the Mass a powerfully captivating melody, which I enjoyed immensely. And whenever I would hear it, it was almost as if I was lifted up out of where I was sitting. Later, I heard a choir in one of our parishes here in Arlington singing a hymn of the same melody. And so I learned what the seminarian had been playing as a prelude for so long. It was a modern hymn called "There Is a Longing, There Is a Longing." Its refrain is, "There is a longing in our hearts, O Lord, for you to reveal yourself to us. There is a longing in our hearts for love we only find in you, our God." Our hearts, dear friends, long for the gift of which Jesus, the Son of God, wished to bestow on us, love which can only come from God. This love is God the Holy Spirit. Divine love himself came upon the church at Pentecost, and it is our longing for this most mysterious person of the most holy Trinity which we renew tonight. Yes, we already have received the Holy Spirit, and in him we have been joined to God himself. But there remains for this unity to be fulfilled in all its wonder in heaven. Thus, we can say that our life in God, our life in the Holy Spirit, has two dimensions, the now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. St. Paul expressed this reality in his great letter to the Romans. We have tonight but a short passage from chapter 8, but the entire chapter is well worth reading. It would be a worthy subject, chapter 8 of Romans, would be a worthy subject for meditation this week. He told the disciples in Rome, "We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies." The apostle is saying that what disciples of Christ have received from God is a down payment on future glory, and there's more to come. What God has already given is salvation from sin that comes from faith in Christ. Thus, a separation from sin, a sinful past, already exists in the life of a Christian. But that distance of oneself from sin is meant to grow and increase, so that our adoption by God as his very own children through baptism is strengthened by God's grace working within us. And this is the reason why we groan, to use the word in our passage. The Greek word could also mean sigh. We who are children of God groan or sigh again and again as we long for the full inheritance of love and joy that we will experience in heaven. For this reason, Paul notes that a key quality of discipleship is endurance. Endurance. The glory of heaven will come to us in God's good time, provided we persevere in the virtues of faith, hope, and love by the choices we make each day. We must make the call to holiness, the call to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as Christ loves us. We have to make that call to holiness our own. Of ourselves alone, this is impossible. That's why the apostle said, quote, "The Spirit, too, comes to the aid of our weakness," unquote. The Holy Spirit has given us the gifts of wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord, precisely to persevere in our identity as disciples, as children of God. My friends, let us commit ourselves tonight to becoming more aware of these gifts of the Spirit, and the ways in which we can apply them in our daily lives. Perseverance, then, is the fitting response to our longing for God, because, as I've already said, the longing in our hearts is for God to reveal himself to us and to bestow on us the love that we can only find in him. Jesus promised us this gift. In the short passage we have in today's gospel, Jesus gives those who are present for the Feast of Tabernacles a glimpse of what he would later do. In the temple, there was a grand ceremony in which the high priest carried a golden pitcher of water from the pill of Siloam, you know, which was outside the temple area, outside the old city, where he actually effected a miracle, if we remember. So the high priest is carrying this golden pitcher filled with water from the pool of Siloam to the altar on which he would pour the water in remembrance of God's saving action during the Exodus through Moses. When God made water pour forth miraculously from a rock. With the temple court filled with people, Jesus cries out that he himself is the source of living water. Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. Jesus used the symbol of water to indicate the Holy Spirit. The Apostle John makes this clear. For he said this in reference to the Spirit. And to whom will he give this Spirit water? Only to those who thirst for it. So Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he has given it. We receive the very love of God. More than that, we have received the love that is in God. Think of that. Now it is up to us to give that gift ourselves. We are to be a gift to others by the way we love one another. This is the significance of Pentecost, my brothers and sisters. Even more, this is what it means to be human. As persons made in the image and likeness of God, we have the capacity to be loved and to love. Indeed, our longing for God, our thirst for the Holy Spirit, is truly a thirst for God's never-ending love. Dear friends, may we never give up this thirst, this holy thirst. Yes, let us thirst for God. We must be careful. Many temptations call us to thirst for worldly things, money, power, pleasure, security, and many other things as well. These things can only lead us astray if we let them. And that's the key, if we let them. But St. Paul reminds us, for in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees is not hope. For who hopes for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. Hear what the Apostle says, my friends. If we hope, we wait with endurance. In the upper room, the disciples gathered around the Virgin Mary, mother of the church, mother of holy hope, as they awaited the coming of the Holy Spirit. Let us follow their example. Yes, may our desire for divine love, the fulfillment of our glory in heaven, and our trust in our Savior Jesus Christ be our guiding star in this life unto eternal life. Amen.